Hello and welcome to an Earth First Radio special. Today we present the Warrior Poets Night to Howl. This event was recorded live at the Round River Rendezvous 2005 in the North Cascades of Oregon. And here to introduce the Warrior Poets Night to Howl is the founder of the Warrior Poets Society, Dennis Fritzinger.
Good evening once again, everybody, and welcome to the Night to Howl. This is an event that has been sponsored by the Warrior Poets Society for a number of years now, five, six, 7 years at least. And it's a night of entertainment, poetry, and there's usually a little music. It gives a chance to the poets to sort of step out of the shadows and onto the stage for a moment there. And usually we have some pretty awesome stuff here. So we hope to entertain you tonight. And I hope you really enjoy it, and we hope to get you you're really roused and happy. So welcome to the Night to Howl. The other thing that I'd like to announce is that I brought a number of Little Green Songbooks with me, which I show you right here from my pocket. This is the first Earth First songbook. It came out in, I believe, 86, and it has the songs of like five or six of the earlier Earth First bards. And Johnny Sagebrush, who is an important component of the early road shows that spread the Earth First message. So we're going to do a song here, Dennis and I, and my name's Dennis, by the way, also. And it's... If you want a, anyway, this will give you a chance to hear what the one of the songs in the Little Green Songbook here, and it's by, this song is by Bill Oliver and it's called Habitat. So I hope you will join us on the chorus, which I'm going to sing right here. I'm going to assume that nobody here knows it. It's pretty simple, but we'd like you all to join in. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Have to have a habitat to carry on. Okay, so that's how the chorus goes, okay? So now we're going to start for real. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Have to have a habitat to carry on. The ocean is a habitat, a very special habitat. It's where the deepest water's at. It's where the biggest mammals at. It's where future food is at. It keeps the atmosphere intact. The ocean is a habitat that we depend on. Habitat. Habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Have to have a habitat to carry on. The forest is a habitat, a very special habitat. It's where the tallest trees are at. It's where a bear can scratch her back. It keeps the ground from rolling back. Renews the aquifers, in fact. Forest is a habitat that we depend on. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Have to have a habitat to carry on. The river is a habitat, a very special habitat. It's where the freshest water's at for people, fish, and muskrats. When the people dump the trash, the river takes the biggest rap. The river is a habitat that we depend on. On habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Have to have a habitat to carry on. People are different than foxes and rabbits. Affect the whole earth with their bad habits. Better to love it while we still have it, or rat-a-tat-tat, our habitat's gone. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Habitat, habitat, have to have a habitat. Have to have a habitat to carry on. Okay, Dennis is going to read something from the Little Green Songbook, and I guess I will be providing the light here.
Oh, I've got the light.
Oh, you got the light? Okay. Go right ahead. Dennis, it's yours.
About Earth First. What, you say? Another wilderness environmental group? There are enough environmental outfits than plague fleas on a New Mexico prairie hog. I already belong to Sierra Club, the Wilderness Society, Friends of the Earth, the Audubon Society, Greenpeace, Youth for Environmental Madness. Why, another one? Why Earth First? Because we're different. To begin with, we do not believe it is enough to preserve our remaining wilderness. It is time to recreate vast areas of wilderness in all of America's ecosystems, identify key areas, close roads, remove developments, and reintroduce extirpated wildlife. It is not enough to oppose the construction of new dams. It is time to free our shackled rivers and tear down the Hetch Hetchies, Glen Canyons, New Molonos, Tellicos, Snake River, Van Cooley, Bonneville. All right. Earth First does not compromise. We set forth the pure hardline position of those who believe the earth comes first. We are emotional, passionate, and angry. We also have a sense of humor. While other environmental groups are members of the American political establishments and essentially adopt the anthropocentric worldview of the industrial civilization, we say that the ideas and manifestations of industrial civilization are anti-earth, anti-women, and anti-liberty. We are working to develop a new biocentric paradigm based on the intrinsic value of all things deep ecology. Lobbying, lawsuits, and research papers are fine, but they are not enough. Earth First also uses confrontation, guerrilla theater, direct action, and civil disobedience to fight for wild places. And while we do not engage in monkey wrenching as a group or necessarily advocate it, we present a forum for the exchange of ideas on creative opposition to the juggernaut of progress. To avoid co-option, we feel it is necessary to avoid the corporate organizational structure so readily embraced by other environmental groups. Earth First is a movement, not an organization. Our structure is non-hierarchical. We have no highly paid professional staff or formal leadership. There are various autonomous but cooperating elements within the Earth First tribe, including dozens of local Earth First groups, the Earth First Foundation, since renamed, the Earth First Journal, various task forces, and the Round River Rendezvous. Quite simply, Earth First believes in wilderness for its own sake.
As I said before, I'm Dennis. I'm from Berkeley, Bay Area Watershed, and I like to start out when I start reading at a rendezvous, I like to start out with some haiku, because to me, haiku is a way of relating to where I am, and I think it's a way that I attempt to honor where I am. So I'll just read a couple of haiku here to get started. Voices going by. I guess it's time to get up and brave mosquitoes. That one was written while I was in my tent, obviously. Okay. Getting the kinks out. I hiked the trail first one way and then the other. Steady, feet, steady. Fall off of this fallen log and you'll get me wet. Heard a woodpecker. Rat-tat-tat on a tree trunk. It's time for coffee. So that's all the haiku I brought to share with you this time around. Thank you very much. All you folks who stepped up, want to grab a seat at the fire, get in a little closer. Okay, well, I marked a bunch of things I thought I'd read for y'all, and some of them you may have heard before, and some of them you may not, and I hope you're entertained by each and every one of them. First one I'm going to read is called Asteroid, and actually I'm going to sing it. One balmy summer day, an asteroid came our way. It wasn't something for which we had planned. This visitor from space made a splash when he showed his face and became a permanent part of the land. The dinosaurs weren't glad. They were scared and they were mad. And had they time, I'm sure that they would shout it. But the dreadful act was done. For a year there was no sun, and there was nothing they could do about it. This mammoth piece of rock hit the earth with such a shock, it permanently changed the planet's face. While the mighty dinosaurs all headed for the showers, and the age of mammals came to take their place. That was many years ago. In the meantime, you must know, evolution used materials at hand to construct the giant sloth and the butterfly and moth in an architecture nothing less than grand. It's the planet that we know, but it wouldn't be the so if an asteroid hadn't happened on its way through the dim, dark reach of space, a planet to embrace in Yucatan on a balmy summer day. Thank you. Thank you. This is called Reinhabitation. You may have heard that the ivory-billed woodpecker has been recently rediscovered in a swamp in Arkansas. Yahoo! Right. So this is called Reinhabitation. The wild is reinhabiting. The wolf's not waiting anymore. The cougar's coming. Hopefully the ivory bill's cry will be heard soon, its stammer in the deep woods, after it migrates from Cuba. And the panther, the alligator, both coming to close Alligator Alley forever. They aren't patient, those ones. They refuse to wait forever, just as bear refuses. Old Blackie's making a comeback in California. Maybe his cousin Grizz will get the message, reinhabit. Take back his territory, what he owned before we stole it from him. The soundtrack of the wild isn't just playing on your tape deck anymore. The tape's off. Didn't you hear it stop? Those are real wolf howls coming through your door. Woo. I always like to read that one. Okay, this is called Tribe. Might be. I'll let you decide. Hanging out around a campfire with a bunch of my Earth First friends. That's the tribe that I belong to. It's a family that never ends. Reaching down to touch the planet beats reaching up to touch the sky. I'm a hairy, wild Earth Firster, and I'll be one till I die. Thank you, Dean, for the elucidation of the point. Yahoo! So here I am fumbling around, pardon me, but Dennis, could you shine a little light on me? It might make it easier. Oh, you'll be my road dude? Excellent. Thank you so much, sir. Okay, just while I flip through here a little bit, see what we got. Okay, we got that. Okay, I want to do this one. This is called The Horsefly. And I want to let you know, as an introduction, that horseflies are slightly territorial. Everybody here back there okay? Okay. The horsefly. Temperature close to 100. 30-pound pack on my back. Hiking and sweating and gasping for air almost a tree line. I didn't want one angry horsefly to come at me. Kamikaze sneak attack bombing me, biting and trying to bite. Arms flailing. Breath muttering curses through clenched teeth. I struggled onward and downward, trail that ran through his territory back down to mine. Just as suddenly as he'd come on, he was gone. I'd crossed over the invisible borderline, and he was no longer interested. Mint, sage, and scraggly pine, tiny surprise flower, bubbling and babbling of farther down creek, none matched his fierceness, his rightness. We defend what we must defend. This poem is called I Stand for What I Stand On. I stand for what I stand on. If what I stand on is a muddy swamp with leeches, or the bottom of a rice paddy, or a mountain. I stand for what I stand on. If it's a waving meadow with tall grasses, a forest clearing, or the compacted duff of a centuries-old, old-growth forest. I stand for what I stand on. When I stand on what I stand for, which is Mother Earth. Thanks. I want to do a song now, just a very... this is a song I wrote a while back. I was sort of inspired by being stuck in my apartment waiting for 4 or 5 days to get a ride to the rendezvous, and I was pretty housebound by at the end of it, because every morning it was kind of like, oh yeah, I'll be there by 11 o'clock, and then by 8 o'clock at night, well, I guess you probably guess that we're not leaving at 11 o'clock, so... I finally wrote this, so it was really worth it. Believe me, this is definitely worth the experience of being trapped in your house for 5 days. Okay, it's called Beautiful Tea. Oh, I never would be a tree spiker. A tree spiker I wouldn't be. It roughs up the hands and enrages the glands and interferes with having tea. Now, feel free to join in on the chorus. Tea, tea, beautiful tea, brought here on ships from across the wide sea, from a flower-painted cup, I drink it up. Tea, oh, beautiful tea. I never would swear and say bullshit, either on my own or on a dare. It upsets the ladies and Patrick O'Grady's, I certainly never would swear. Tea, tea, beautiful tea, brought here on ships from across the wide sea, from a flower-painted cup, I drink it up. Tea, oh, beautiful tea. And I think drinking beer is abominable. You'll never smell it on my breath. You'd act more refined if you had half a mind when saving the planet from death. Tea, tea, beautiful tea, brought here on ships from across the wide sea, from a flower-painted cup, I drink it up. Tea, oh, beautiful tea. And this wearing of jeans and of tie-dyes, it simply, just simply, must stop. So wear a neat suit and a good tie-dye boot, it'll put you on over the top. Tea, tea, beautiful tea, brought here on ships from across the wide sea, from a flower-painted cup, I drink it up. Tea, oh, beautiful tea. So now I've refuted your thinking, I hope you will sit down with me. For we'll save all the earth, the world of our birth, if we only keep drinking our tea. Tea, tea, beautiful tea. Brought here on ships from across the wide sea, from a flower-painted cup, I drink it up. Tea, oh, beautiful tea. Woo. This one is called Woofs. They're howlers and growlers. Uncouthy and toothy. Have big feet and like meat. They're woofs. Their puppies they protect while they teach them respect. And their dinner they dissect. They're woofs. As they run across the snow at 40 below, green their eyes glow. They're woofs. As you sit in your sauna, think charismatic megafauna. The food chain's top banana. They're woofs. So there's... And not to ignore the enigmatic microfauna, but I have poems about them too, but I didn't select them for tonight. Thank you. Okay, this right here is another new one. It's called Your American Right. Fall off cliffs, get drowned in rivers. It's your American right. Get eaten by bears and clawed by lions. It's your American right. Get lost in caves and vanish in the woods. Disappear in a canyon maze. Fall into a fissure while crossing a glacier. Fade away in a forest fire haze. Get swallowed by earthquakes or errant waves while fighting the good fight. Get trampled by buffalo, pecked to death by ducks. It's your American right. Thanks again. I want to end with this one right here, except I'll come back for some more singing later. I call this For the Fallen Warriors. Let's remember this evening those of us who have gone ahead on the trail, who set out in the middle of the night when the moon was at full sail, when stars were bright as a catamount's eyes and the night was vivid and dark, set out with a light or a heavy load, leaving only their campfire's spark. We will all set out in this way sometime and follow the self-same trail. If our eyes can't see in the dark of night, surely our feet won't fail. Let's leave a few embers burning behind, set safe in a ring of stone, to comfort those who must carry on while we travel this road, but not alone. Thank you. All right, all right. So now I get back to being MC. This is flute.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was flute. Next is going to be Stan.
This poem was written back in the early days of the Bush administration in 2001, when it looked like all he was going to do was try to do voodoo economics and then be gone in 4 years. So it's like pre-911, and there's a little setup that kind of hopefully helps us make some sort of sense. My family and I were traveling back and forth across the western United States in a camper on our Ford truck, looking like rednecks, and I was waiting to have neck surgery, so I was eating like 8 hydrocortone a day. And this poem was written during the end of the trip. We were like 4 days away from surgery, and at that point there was no amount of painkiller on the planet that was helping at all. But I was being allowed to drive, so everything was cool. And and we stopped to visit my sister-in-law, who was living at this place in Idaho called Osier Lookout. And so here we go. This is called Ode to Osier Lookout. This is the perfect place for suicide or poaching. 54 feet in a salt lick away is death and or dinner. But for whom? Something's always eaten something up here. If a bow was used, nobody would ever know. How long would it be before anybody noticed a human disappearance? Broken body at bottom of 54-foot tower, free bear pickings, a real treat for the tourist. Imagine little Timmy and Lassie running up the trail, coming upon the half-eaten remains of Ranger Rachel. Ah, the terror. Probably scar the little bastard for life. Probably become a gun nut, big game hunter, misanthropic defender of the Constitution, right-wing crazy. Maybe waste the president. Imagine W laying on the ground, brains in his hand, smiling up at the heavens, seeing a lookout in Idaho somewhere, thanking God and clinical depression for the assassin's bullet that made his rule more interesting than daddy's. This is a poem that I only read when my wife isn't around to hear it because she hates it. Much Ado About Farting. I fart, and my odoriferous discharge proves not only my existence. The dead, soon after their demise, pass no gas, break no wind, but if left out to dry properly, are broken by the wind. My flatulence as well stinks in the face of a consumer-directed but not people-protected society which sells the means to combat the stinking butt flex but leaves defenseless against the hex of suburban ease and comfort. Burn down your house and run away into the darkest woods. Gather, hunt, eat, and fart. And let your farts create odors strong enough to drive out the minions of a buy-me-now culture. Fart, I say, and let the strength of your ass reek speak the height of your desires, and let your stench set the only limits to your revolution. I don't even know why this poem was written, but this is called Pigs Killed Toto. Pigs killed Toto. It was a sniper with a grudge. Sat up on a rooftop watching the riot below. Below, Toto sat by Dorothy. Order came down. Pig said, kill that hoe. Pig killed Toto because he couldn't shoot worth shit. Had Dorothy in his sights, but he just couldn't hit. Hollow point hit Toto right between the eyes. Riot had to stop so Toto could die. Right. I read that one earlier. That one makes no sense even to me. Okay, so I have this post-apocalyptic vision of the world that's based on the fact that I'm really kind of, you know, weird. And I live around a bunch of rednecks who like to fail trees for a living, and they like to talk to me in the store for reasons that are absolutely beyond me, but they always come up and say, you're an environmentalist, aren't you? Well, you know what I think? And I always look at him and say, I don't know. What do you think? And so I write a lot of strange poems, but this has nothing to do with that. The other strange group of people I hang out with is that I hang out with a bunch of rainbow people. And I was at a rainbow gathering where there was a real, really, you know, grand spectacle of old hippies around. And, you know, including people who were on oxygen at the time and everything. And this one guy who has a fucked up arm. And he referred to us as the Crippled Warrior Society. So here we go. Crippled Warrior Society and other white trash campfire tales. Gypsy poet spray paint syntax on poison, turn DDT to love, then urge pleasure. Caesar salad sells 2 for 1. Boardrooms glue government still in charge more. Culture cleanse TV on Family Guy teaches aliens all about Earth. A monkey howls, hyenas cackle, and an eerie silence, sepian but real, shreds daybreak. What wonders await poetic license? Split infinitives, phonemes, anthropologists get wet. Crippled warriors, society warble high praise to the goddess 420 and eat gladly their medicine. Gypsy poets notice everything. Tarzan blinks, dairy fat grabs heart, takes its syrupy toll. And how long am I supposed to be up here?
We'll just keep going. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, so it occurred to me one day that it is the height of egotism to write poems about nature. It's kind of like theft. You know, maybe nature would like it if once in a while we would write a poem, not about nature, but for nature. So it occurred to me that, you know, I should do that since it was my idea. And, you know, where I live, about 3 a.m., the coyotes come down right after the bars close. The coyotes and the rednecks come out to play. And I don't know what, no. Although I do hear automatic weapon fire sometimes in the background. I have to add that this poem has nothing to do with coyotes. But anyway, they come down and they yip, and it kind of fills the sky. And one of the things I discovered that I have respiratory disease, and one of the best treatments for it is to eat ganja, which is not illegal even here or in Montana, so I can say that. And so, but it makes me, you know, it kind of gives you a weird perception when you spend every evening in front of, you know, in front of the proverbial fireplace, woofing down the brownies, and then listening to the coyotes yip. But this has nothing to do with coyotes. But it is a poem. This is what I think that nature wants to hear from poets, which was the point of the whole ramble. Another nature poem like the wild dogs of the Kalahari like it. So imagine the Kalahari and, you know, your wild dog pack. And you're sitting around and, you know, you're at the bistro and you've had your overpriced coffee. And the waitress is snarling about a tip. And you know you're never going to get your cup refilled. What do you want to hear? Here we go. Okay. There are drums all over my house. Flat spaces filled with knickknacks and brickwreck. Reach over. Give the dog a pat. I wonder, what did that old man see? The caravanserai is open. Soon the traders will arrive. Birth a network. Silk roads are passed, crisscrossing our minds. Even in the dark places, you'll find great finds. The coffee's done. The ganja's kind. Laundry spits out staccato beat, brisk spring Montana wind, smoke winds up Sneaky Snake Canyon. The wagons know, soon they will follow. Behind imagination's veil, truth is an adventure. I look deep into the well. I see that old man in me looking off, seeing what no one else sees. Smell strong coffee and caravan Saraya's comely welcome. So that has a whole bunch of historical references. That if you want a lesson in Central Asian history, which I'm not going to give you right now, you can come to me and say, Stan, please, God, give me a lesson in Central Asian history. Hippie. That's because this next poem. I live in the second largest collection of old hippies on the planet. I have to give Humboldt County its due. So one day I was trying to get these people to do something. You know, the war was on. They'd already given me a ration of shit about burning flags. And I was trying to get them to do something. So I decided to write a poem that would motivate all of the old hippies. And my dream was is that we would take our recliners out to the mall and lock down. You know? You know, but it hasn't happened yet. So I wrote this poem, and this is called Old Hippies Manifesto. Old hippies, rise from your slumber. Shake that drug-addled hangover. Rise up. The time is now. Your conscience calls you. Your children call you. Your grandchildren call you. Sit down that wilted joint and pick up the hooter of resistance. Old hippies, you are more than a rest home reject. You are a sponge on society. Sponge. Produce nothing. Do no labor. Cease your mindless tedium. You were not called to work. You have been called to resist. Old hippies, place your recliner and your minivan and take rest in public buildings. Do nothing else. Sit. Refuse to move. Go forth and do nothing again. Let them drag you off even as you decompose. Let your stench be your revolution. Contaminate even a sacred shopping mall. Old hippies glorifying the destruction of your memory. Recall nothing. No name, no address, not even coherency. Leave behind your shame of having used LSD to turn your brain to rot. You are free. Do nothing and glorify in your stupefied condition. Old hippies, in police hands you are vermin. Able only to drool and accept all they must feed you. Take advantage of incarceration and have your heart attack inside. Yes, let the state meet your health needs. You are ancient. You are decrepit. You stand in the way of all progress. Old hippie, now is the time.
Rise up. Rise up.
Be proud that you have amounted to naught. Let your drug-induced wastefulness be a shining example of a true human for once, just being. Old hippies, the call goes out to you. Old hippies, rise up. I'm going to do just a couple more. But I want to take a moment to put these in the crypt. A credit to my generation. This is based on the Walt Whitman poem, O Captain, My Captain, but it's called O Kitchen, My Kitchen. And this is for all the seeds people. O Kitchen, My Kitchen, you feed us and fill our all too often empty mugs. We are warmed by your generosity. Rice and beans bubble and brew, the spirits are about. Playful curries light the palate like 4th of July fireworks. The rain is constant, but spirits high. It's that Idaho groove brought on by one too many trips over the hill. We dry our feet in your heat of your flame. You burn warm and welcoming. We smile. Oh, kitchen, my kitchen. We bask with warm bellies and happy hearts. Fueled by your fire, we resist. So I can do more than just babble incoherent. Okay, so this is called Campfire Regalia. A moment in time in the wave crest, what seemed just so then, becomes stories told around campfires with cold beers and fat joints. Lies filled the air along with laughter. Poised on haunches, rocking on balls of bare feet, ready, ready to fill the night with words, sweet, sweet words. All eyes are on the poet, a boon for his friend, pickpocket. Words, yeah, words, spoken with such guile that heroes come to life and even the stars move closer. Coyote, not cow, jumped over the moon, chasing crow feathers. Coyote, chasing tail again. Can you hear that fiddle calling up dust devils and the ghost of ancestors who come around to hear one more time how they and Bear held off an army of enraged accountants trying to get numbers to add up in yet another Freddy shell game? A couple of drummers join in, running, running, running through the night, cop hot on their heels, Johnny Winter's fingers pick fine, and his slide sparks truth like a fault line splits earth. Space between truth and fiction blurs. Coyote bites asses off of truth Nazis, reminding all that some input just ain't needed. Miles Davis' horn catches Janice wailing blues. Now that is truth. Blues so deep and hurts so sharp that her contradictions don't even count. Because when the poet's done and walks away in the guise of imperfect humanity, even fire ain't that honest.
Thank you. Thank you, Stan. That was awesome.
You have been listening to part one of A Warrior Poet's Night to Hell. Be sure to listen to all five parts of this Earth First Radio special. I'm Uncle Dennis, and thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. Hello, come on.